House Talk Radio. Join Tony and Wendy Gambone on House Talk Radio, where they talk all things house. From tips on home repairs and remodeling to best practices on buying and selling a home, hiring contractors, home loans, and insurance, as well as decorating ideas and how to get the most bang for your buck. If you would like more information about House Talk Radio, go to housetalkradio.com.
Okay, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and my beautiful wife, Wendy, who is not here today with us. If some of you are listening in from the Houston area, you know that today is the first day of the Nutcracker Market venue that is held down at the NRG. And it's a huge, 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 very, very, very big market for Christmas stuff. And luckily, I didn't have to go, but she's down there, and she does it every year. Her and a bunch of ladies that are down there looking at, of course, what ladies like to look at, anything marked 50% off. So anyway, she'll be with us next week, and while she's not here today, we do have a great show as always. Super excited about the show House Talk. Super excited to be able, after 8 years, talk my wife into co-hosting a radio show with me. Some think that I might be sorry, but I can tell you I'm super, super, super excited about this. So as you heard in the intro, and some of you have followed the show, we have a family-owned remodeling business here in the Houston, Texas area for about 21 years. Now, I've been in the remodeling industry a lot longer than that, but there's no reason to give away how old 62 feels. But anyway, we have done all phases of remodeling work and even built houses. And one of the things that people are always talking to me about is the value of buying and selling real estate, fixing up the houses. Now, you know, ever since HGTV became popular, everybody feels as though, how hard could it be, right? Well, that might be the contractor in me talking. But actually, it's not too difficult if you're willing to take a shot at things. But one of the things, just like everything else, you know, you can go out very easily and buy a bicycle. But, you know, you just don't jump on it and expect to learn how to ride it the first time you get on it. So you have to take some lessons. You got to be able to educate yourself. You got to learn different things that are going to help you fail less. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's the way of putting it. Fail less, because we're always going to fail for trying something or for building something. And if you tell me you don't fail, well, I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with you, and that your nose might be growing, because you cannot learn unless you fail. But getting into the real estate market, there's no reason to fail completely, right? You're going to be able to learn things today, and from our show on and on, you're going to be able to learn more things, whether it's changing the toilet in your house, choosing the paint color for your siding, or whether it's an opportunity to take some money that you found or that you have created and turn it into maybe an extra stream of income by maybe buying a house and holding it to rent out, buying a house and having it fixed up to sell, or, you know, well, there's all different types of opportunities. Me, I like to buy and hold. Because of my age, I'm looking at ways to have multiple streams of income. And we all know that, you know, in the real estate business, or in life in general, right, people are always going to need a place to live. So it's not a market that's ever going to disappear. It's kind of like restaurants. They're always going to be busy, because, well, people like to eat. And one thing I heard a gentleman speak the other day, it was a home inspector, and he was from India originally, and he's been in the States a long time. But his father told him when he went to college, if you are undecided in what to do, get in construction, because every part of the world and every city in the U.S. has construction going on. So it is a very, very good opportunity to learn how to better yourself, or maybe create multiple streams of income. So we have someone here today by the name of Jack Gibson, who, well, he began his journey at a very young age. I kind of have something in common with him. When I was 20 years old, I started working for myself. And prior to that, I worked for my relatives. And maybe it was thank you to them for being so hard on me that made me go out and do it on my own so I could show them that I was smarter. Long story short, it took 40 years for me to get educated on how to do the process. And we do flip some homes. We do a lot of work for flippers. We have been involved in just helping people decide whether it's a good opportunity or not, as far as turning the property over, remodeling it, what's involved in it. But there's a lot that comes before you have to learn about the value of the cost of remodeling the house. There's so many different things that come along. Now, a lot of times people say, no, it's way too much. And I can tell you, I've been to a lot of weekend presentations. I try to learn as much as I can about this years ago before I got in, and it's getting better and easier and better and easier because of technology. There's all kinds of software you can use now. But we're going to be talking to someone today who has been doing this a long time, has created multiple ways for you to benefit from it. And what's going to happen is you're going to be able to understand more. I'm always the person that says you can make the best decision if you grab up all the information available. Now, I'm not saying take 10 years to study it, okay? I am a ready, fire, aim kind of guy. And if you want to make money in real estate, you can't wait a year to make a choice. So anyway, that's just my little piece on it. What we're going to do is bring an expert on, a gentleman by the name of Jack Gibson. And as I mentioned, he started his entrepreneurial journey at the age of 19, found his first company, and he's got a long story to tell you, and I'm going to let him do it. So without wasting any time, I want to welcome Jack to the show. Jack, welcome to the show.
All right. Hey, thanks, Tony, for having me. I'm excited to join you, and I'm sure, you know, getting out of that, Christmas little shopping spree, that probably was a great thing for you, as it would be for me.
Funny thing is, to go down there. Well, on Wednesday nights every year they have a private party, and I've gone before, but they serve wine and beer, so you know you can stand on each corner where that little booth is and drink wine or a beer while your wife is shopping, and she could be the designated driver. But fortunately, she had better plans this year, and I'm back here at the house. So anyway, yes, sir. And what I'd like to do before we get started is I always like to find out where you're from, where you're calling in from.
I'm in St. Joseph, Michigan. It's a small town in about the southwest corner of Michigan near Chicago.
Okay.
And I've lived here for about 20 years, and I grew up in Ohio near Cleveland.
Okay, so two areas that might have taken a little bit of a fall from 2008 to now, and then maybe some of it's coming back up again, which is a good thing if you're in real estate, I think. Would you say?
Yeah, definitely. I think, the Midwest overall didn't get hurt as bad in 2008 as a lot of other, areas in the country, especially, of course, the coastal areas. But it's recovered, absolutely recovered, and then some from where it was. So, yeah, the market is really, really hot right now.
Okay, so I want to just take people down a little bit of a road so they can learn a little bit about you, so they can understand that you have spent a lot of time. You just didn't read a book and create a website and became someone that's a specialist in this area here. But what got you into real estate? I mean, was that something you started out in? Was it something you found along the way? I mean, how did you get started in that?
So taking you way back to my first entrepreneurial venture kind of sets the stage for why I got in real estate. I was 19, like you said, you were 20, and I'm a ready, fire, aim guy as well. So I can totally relate to everything you're saying. So I signed up as I didn't start the company. I signed up as an independent sales rep and had my own kind of my own business. I mean, I was an independent contractor for a multi-level marketing nutrition company. And so that was my tail end of my freshman year of college. So I sign up in April, then I go, you know, I grad or get out of school and go home to my parents in Ohio in May. Well, there, my mom's brother, he was a very wealthy farmer. He had about 500 acres. He had three different businesses. So during the summer, that summer, I went to work for him on his farm. He just bought a tract of new land and it needed to be cleared off. So he offered me, you know, like a, you know, part-time job. And so I was looking to pick up some extra income along trying to get my nutrition business off the ground. So I drove down, you know, and I'd clear off his land, throw sticks off and into the woods. And it was like back-breaking work. So I get done, I give him, you know, all my hours, and he gives me $100. I was to say disappointed would be an understatement. So that same week, I'd sold a nutrition package for $200, and I made $100 in a half an hour. So right then, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I'm never working for somebody else for the rest of my life if they can determine my worth. And, you know, relative or not, I was like, I'm not ever doing that again. So that was the last time I've ever worked for anybody else. And ever since then, I've been, you know, completely an entrepreneur. And I love having that freedom and flexibility and being able to decide my own worth. And then I don't have to ever have anybody else tell me what I'm worth. And so, yeah, I started building up the nutrition company. And by the time I was a junior, that was $1 million annual sales revenue. I was doing that part time. So I was making really, really nice income, more than my college professors. I can't believe to this day I got a C in marketing class. You know, like, how does that happen? That was my worst grade, too. I had a $1 million marketing company, and I was getting a C in his class. So we weren't seeing eye to eye. But anyways, I graduate from that, and I, you know, continued to build up that business to, 10X'd it over the last, decade or so. And so I had some really nice cash flow coming in, and I needed to figure out a way to put it to work. Well, I know that, way back in 2000, when I graduated college, I also read this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki, and then the Cash Flow Quadrant. He has a whole series of books. And in it, he talked about building a business and then investing into real estate. So that was always on my, you know, it was always on my radar, but I just never really took the time to study how to do it. Well, in about 4 years ago, my stocks dropped like a rock. I mean, I was in oil and oil, just price of oil crashed, the stocks along with it. And that's the day I decided, and that was a great day too, by the way. Like, not everything that bad happens to you is bad, right? Like, it could be a really good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a common misconception so many people think is when bad things happen, they don't, like, if they took the longer range perspective and look back, you're like, man, most of the time, those are actually, things were working out in my favor. Like, just pushed me in a different direction. So that pushed me like nothing else ever had to go figure out how to do real estate. So I started studying it, downloading podcasts, reading books, and just trying to figure out the game. So I just started, then I started looking at different markets around the country that would make sense to invest, because my local market here was really, really like saucy. I mean, the prices were just too hard to get something as a buy and hold investment to really cash flow positive. So I didn't want to buy something like on the promise that it may appreciate down the road. I wanted to buy something that was immediately cash flowing from day one. So I went to look at other markets, and then Indianapolis was one that was really only 3 hours from me, and it's a very, very good, strong rental market. So I started investigating that, ended up buying, and then I started referring friends and family because I'm getting incredible returns, and then before I knew it, I actually was growing my own book of clients, and I had a business on my hands. So honestly can't say I started in real estate to do it to start a company. I just started into real estate to become a buy and hold passive investor. So, you know, it's always kind of crazy how things work out, right? Like, you just never know what paths you're going to kind of go down or veer down and be open to opportunities when they present themselves.
Well,
so, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I want to because you know you do a lot of these shows. Times go fast, and I have so many questions and so many things I want to try to push into this show. But we're gonna have to have you back on here. But getting into the market, okay? So most people would stay in their neighborhood, and one of the things I heard you say is you looked around. 3, maybe 4 hours from your house was an area that where rental incomes were very, very much in demand. So most people will look around their neighborhood and go, well, you know, it's, you know, a lot of people like to talk themselves out of things, right? And but yet they think that you're just making it hand over fist, and you know, how can they do it? There's a lot to it, but yet it's not that complicated. And one of the things I wanted to talk about was, how did you come up with the fact that, hey, in the area, this is not going to work here. What I want to do is, for instance, there's no distressed homes. There's not very many rental properties that I'm seeing. So the value of it's not there. What made you think to go to another area? Was that something that you learned along the way, woke up one day in the middle of a dream, or someone suggested it to you? How did you get there?
Right. No, great question. You know, here's the one line, Tony, that really kind of hit me that I heard on a podcast. And to this day, it's pretty much fuels everything that we do. The line was, live where you want to live and invest where it makes sense. So in my local market, anything that I would buy, the taxes would have eaten up the cash flow. So maybe I could make 4 or 5% on my money. Well, I'm better off, safer play, which is to be pay off my mortgage, you know, where I'm paying 5% interest or 4 or 5% interest, right? Like, that's a safer play to save to make the 4 or 5%, right?
Right.
So I had to find something that would outpace, you know, what I'm paying out, you know, on my primary mortgage. So there was absolutely nothing. And even then, you know, to me as an investor, a 5% in real estate, and that's pretty much the national average in terms of the cap rate or, you know, cash on cash returns. That to me is just not enough cushion for me to feel comfortable with that type of investment. Because, like, if your roof needs to be replaced, or plumbing needs to be replaced, or electrical, or anything happens on the property, you're eating up that entire year's of rental cash flow profit. And then some. So I need to have, to me, I wanted to find something that had higher margins of protection, not only to get a higher return on my cash and really make it work for me, but also to, you know, protect myself. So if something should go wrong, and it does, and you know, you've owned property, you know, things go wrong, right? Anybody who's ever owned property, we cannot mistake ourselves to think that things are not going to go wrong, because they absolutely will by law. So when things go wrong, we need to be able to have cash flow, positive cash flow, to cover those things so that we don't experience a loss situation. So that's the gist of why I decided investing out of state. And, you know, the most important thing, Tony, when you're investing out of state by far is the management. It's trusting the team. It's the team. It's not the property. It's the team behind the property is what makes or breaks you.
Mm. I want to jump back a little bit, Jack, and you had said that you had a C in marketing back in college, but I'm going to take a stab at this, okay? I mean, I don't mean to bring up bad times, but here's the deal. I think that you were way ahead of your game. That's what I think, because I bet, if I would have to bet at this, that you were more of a relationship type of marketing person than marketing was a few years back. I mean, now what you're thinking is probably an A+ in that grade compared to back then, because times have changed and maybe you were just a little bit ahead of your time. I don't want you to give you a C- on yourself on that subject there, but a lot of people don't get that. Okay. So taking that into the next thing that you said was having a good team requires being that person that is willing to build relationships with people that they just met and create a team that they can trust and spend time into that and know that they're going to have to give up a little to create that team. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, you know, I think so many people that are investors, they are looking at, you know, they'll look at the market, they'll look at the what jobs are coming into this particular, you know, city or, you know, area. They're looking at, then they, you know, they take it down to a smaller level, right, where they're looking at the actual property and what was kind of work and rehab was done on the property and what streets it on and all of that. And I can tell you from investing in, you know, five different cities with different property managers, you know, prior to starting, you know, our company in high return real estate, I can promise you and all of your listeners that the management is what makes or breaks the investment. It's not the property purchase. To me, what I found, it is absolutely who am I buying from? And can I trust them? And what kind of team is standing behind that property? So, you know, and that's it's very easy in real estate to deceive people. Very easy. I mean, I see it all the time, and it happened to me. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I decided to start this company. It was like I didn't like how I was being taken advantage of and whatnot. And I wanted to start something to where other investors could feel safe and secure and know that they had a team behind the investment that would, you know, make things right if anything were to go wrong. So yeah, that's the biggest piece to it is just, you know, like buying from people that you trust, because look, it's so easy to like, for instance, we could sell a property really easy with a broken sewage line. That would not be hard to do. That would not show up on an inspection report. We could absolutely do that and turn a $5,000, you know, problem directly over to a investor. Like we could, I mean, that's just an example, but that's very, very easy to do. I mean, there's so many things that you could hide that even on an inspection report would not come up. And to a passive investor that maybe isn't that experienced, there are so many things that, you know, that can just be pulled over them. And then, for example, too, if you buy a property as an investor before it's completely finished and rehabbed, I mean, I've seen, and we saw from a different a competitor of ours, they probably 200-400 investors, you know, were buying properties that were not finished, and they never really got finished. Or if they got finished, it was, I mean, you know, they had to spend another $10,000-$20,000 or more to complete the work. So it's, you know, that's where you got to be careful.
I couldn't agree with you more. There's, you know, a lot of your home inspectors are people that were in corporate and don't have a job anymore, or, you know, maybe they were in project manager in the construction world, and not that there's anything that they're doing wrong. It's just there's a lot of things that they don't know to look for either, things that happen when you're in the middle of building something back or what's inside the wall that you never knew about. So it's important to have people that you can trust, people that have been, well, like I said, if you haven't skinned your knees, you're really not ready to be successful yet. So you have to get past a certain point, and you can eliminate the stitches in your knees if you carry a good team with you. So I think that's important. Yes. to do. I want to talk about how, well, I have a question for you. So here in Houston, you know, gas and oil is big here. And 2008, the market went way down, and then, you know, everything went crazy. Some friends of mine that were big investors here in Houston sold all their properties and started buying property in Nashville. Tell me about that area. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know too much about Nashville. We haven't really studied that market. I mean, we're so hyper-focused on, you know, our perfecting our systems and processes and model in Indy. I know pretty much, though, for what I've seen is that the Midwest, and you can consider Nashville kind of in that Midwestern belt, it is very, very strong. Like, the price-to-rent ratios are good. I mean, you could go to, you know, Cleveland, Detroit, Columbus, St. Louis, Kansas City, and you're going to see price to rent ratios there that are going to be you know, quite a bit stronger than anywhere else in there. So I wouldn't be surprised if Nashville was pretty good. Although I would think that that's, you know, from what I've heard, it's pretty been a pretty hot market. So I don't quite know how many deals are still yet to be had there.
Exactly. And that's another good point. So I want to, because like I said, time goes quickly here, but I want to talk about highreturnrealestate.com. That's your website. And I know we're going to be interviewing another gentleman that I believe you're partnered with. And So I'm kind of excited about this. I get to keep it going. But High Return Real Estate, do you have programs? Can people, can they reach out to you? Do you teach this type of stuff, or is this something that you're starting to do? Tell them about that.
So we're essentially a turnkey company. So in our definition of turnkey is where we acquire, we rehab, we inspect, and then we place a tenant and manage the property. We do all of that for the passive investor. So for active investors, those who want to go out and source their own properties and do their rehabs and essentially, you know, they're forcing their own equity increase in the property by them being active. We don't teach active investors how to do that process because we are, as of right now, as soon as we have a property ready, it's sold within 24 hours. We have a wait list right now of investors that are waiting for properties to cross the finish line. So yeah, we don't. And because I have a commitment now at this stage of our company to full-fledged turnkey. Like, we will not sell a property until it's had an inspection by a third-party company, and we've had a chance to cure all those items that come up, and then, get a tenant in and get a signed lease, and then if any issues come up while the tenant's in, because usually they do within the first week, light switch doesn't work or plumbing leak or whatever, there's mm-hmm. things that come up once a tenant starts living, then we can rectify all of those issues. And then we sell the property to the investor. So they're essentially, our investor group is buying a stream of income. They're buying a cash flow producing asset from day one. And we pride ourselves on that, that system and process that we use that we've, I wouldn't say we've perfected it, but, we've done pretty well with what we do. I mean, it takes a lot to get a property to a dilapidated property, for that matter, to that type of stage where it's, producing a stream of income. And our investors typically on all of our cash flow seats, they are hitting about a 10 to 11% return. So it's very strong.
So you find the property, you rehab it, you place a tenant in it, and then you turn it over to one of the to an investor. Is
that's
that correct?
Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Very smart. I was thinking that you were going to be another company that's teaching, a lot of companies are making all of their money in the so-called process to do this. Okay, and, it takes a little bit more than a monthly phone call to work through these steps to get to be able to be profitable in this business. So I like the concept that you're doing, because if someone has the money and they want to think about getting involved in real estate, they don't have to have it in their neighborhood. All they have to do is connect with you, and you can put them on the list, so to speak, in an area that you recommend, and you can show the rate of return so they can see the value of the investment. Am I getting that right?
You got it right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not for everybody, for those the DIY, the do-it-yourselfer, our company is not for them. I mean, we're looking for people that are strictly want to be passive investors. They don't really care that much to learn all the things that we do behind the scenes. They want to just enjoy all the benefits and amazing benefits to being able to own real estate property, right? I mean, there's so many things that go beyond just the 10, 11% return on investment, depreciation, tax benefits, all of that can really, and of course the security of real estate. I mean, it's not going to, fluctuate like any other investment really will, especially the stock market has a much higher, you know, price swing or variance level than real estate. So yeah, we're really looking for those passive investors for sure.
I think you're onto something. I've not heard of any companies doing this, and maybe it's just my ignorance, but I've encountered a lot of interviews where people are selling the program. And I'll tell you, I spent some time in the casino business at a younger age and all the way up the line, learned all the games. And people used to say, can you make the most money in the casino? And I was like, selling the book on how to gamble, because that's a guaranteed sale and there's, you know, less risk, right? And doing something
right.
that you're doing, someone wants to make an investment, that cuts your risk down because no one's going to come to you and say, what's that show on TV that my wife watches, Property Brothers? Well, we have asbestos behind the wall, so now that's going to be another charge. And so all that has been already taken care of way before someone has a chance to say, yes, I want that property, or no, I don't want that property. You absorb all that struggle.
Yeah, we also offer a one-year warranty on the property that covers all of the major systems. So we stand behind the property for one full year. I mean, if anything's going to go wrong for that, you know, new investor buying the property, it's typically going to be within that first year. Of course, after that, I mean, in terms of maintenance and repairs, it's just normal wear and tear, tenant wear and tear. All of that is just, you know, factored into the cost of the investment and the owning the property. But our warranty would cover anything pretty major that could be really detrimental to an investor's, you know, cash flow, and making sure that they feel really comfortable that, you know, hey, look, this team is standing behind their work, standing behind their property. So if something does go wrong, I mean, you know, electrical system busts out or plumbing, you know, whatever, anything of those major systems, then foundation, you know, we're going to go in and fix it on our, it's going to be on our dime.
Now, do you also manage the property afterwards? Is that an option?
Yeah, that's a pretty, absolutely. We absolutely insist on it because we want to be in control of the investor experience after the sale. So the management piece, and so High Return Real Estate is partnered. We have, there are, you know, kind of like our in-house business partners. They're called Urban House. So they manage all of the properties for our investors, just like our partner sister company per se. So we are then in direct control of the investor experience and the investor's cash flow after the sale. So the management, a lot of people think, oh, well, there's another profit center for us. Well, not in C and B class property. It's not. I mean, 10% of rents, that covers our cost to run the property management division. So that's really set up as more of a service to our investors to make sure, you know, like I said, that we can control their experience and make sure that they're cash flowing.
Right. It's part of basically providing the warranty that you provide to them to make money on a cash flow basis. As long as they can follow your management company's suggestions, you can keep them up to par to get the most amount of rent out of that building and be able to sell that building at a highest cost available because the building's been upkept.
That's right. Yeah, what we've found from, and we have seen this model in the past, and we did the model in our first stages. We call ourselves High Return Real Estate 3.0 now. We're on our 3.0 version, which new and improved. But on 2.0, we had a third-party management company, and we just found our investors getting eaten alive with maintenance and, you know, repair-type stuff. And, you know, that's because they're marking that up significantly because they need, as a third-party property management company, that's how they profit. I mean, they don't make that much money on 10% of rents. So we found, you know, when we took it in-house, we could reduce the ongoing cost to our investor by, you know, probably, you know, two-thirds. I mean, it was a huge, huge, substantial difference. So that caused our investors to be happier and then want to buy more property because they're able to cash flow at a much stronger pace.
I love it. This is a great concept. Now, Jack, let me ask you this. Is there a lot of companies doing this? This is the first I've heard of it. I think it's a genius idea. I guess you would consider it a done-for-you service for people that are looking to invest in properties. Is there a lot of competition out there right now with this? Or are you one of the only people doing it?
There's a fair amount of competition, Tony. I wouldn't say that, you know, by any stretch that the market is saturated. I think, too, for our class of property, which is C class, we don't have a lot of competition in that property class. We do lots of C's and then B class, right? So, you know, C class is definitely you're going to be your mid to, I'd say, a little below mid-level incomes. So rents are, you know, $650, $700, $800 type deal a month. So it's not, these are not high income earners. They have to have three times the income of the rent to qualify as a tenant. So in that class of property, I mean, there's not a lot of people that really want to take it on as a turnkey because there's a lot of challenges and problems that you have to solve in that class of tenants. I mean, you just have to know what you're doing to be able to, you know, to handle them. So and get the rent collection and get the properties to be performing every month. And our team is extremely good at getting performance. So as far as other turnkey companies, I mean, there's much bigger. I mean, but they've been in business for many years longer than us. We are very optimistic about our future in terms of the growth track and what we have in place to be able to become one of the top turnkey companies in the nation. Although we are, you know, we still got a lot of room for growth to be able to kind of hit that stage. But yeah, I think there's, you know, honestly, like there's maybe four or five, you know, probably bigger names in the country. And then there's a lot of like, just kind of more startups that are starting to kind of hit the market as well. Cause there is a demand. I mean, there's quite a demand for what we're doing.
And so what you're telling me is that you picked a niche. Okay, you're not looking at houses that get the $1,500, $2,000 a month rent. You're looking at a lower valued neighborhood, which you have to be very good at it because, as you mentioned, they don't have much to lose as a higher-end house tenant would. So you have to have a lot of systems in place to make sure that works properly. So I think that's a good niche.
Yeah, absolutely. We're not interested at all in remotely interested in going into the A-class neighborhoods. I mean, there's just not that good of profit margins for us, and the risk right. is so much higher, and it's a much slower game, Tony. Like, you know, all those properties, pretty much people have to get upfront financing to be able to buy. I mean, if they're buying a, you know, $150,000, $200,000, $250,000 house, I mean, you know, they're not going to probably in all likelihood be a cash investor. Whereas our properties, you know, single families, 45, 50,000, 60,000, you know, we bring in cash investors and then they can refinance the property. If they desire to do that, they can do that pretty easily after they close with us. And we made the firm resolution to go to cash only just because our model is such that, you know, when we get it takes us long enough to get a property to where it's, you know, cross the finish line, you know, where it's acquired, rehabbed, inspected, you know, repaired again, tenant is placed. We can't hold the property another 3 months waiting on the bank to get their act together to close on the property, right? That would kill our model.
So people... I'll just use the average guy, right? I mean, I think it's really awesome that you're giving people that live in that rent area an opportunity to have a good house to live in. I think that's awesome. That's very, very good. But if someone was saying, okay, I don't have 60 grand cash, do you guys work with hard money lenders to get people placed in that? Is that the same kind of deal that you'll work with?
Yeah, we have investors that go to hard money lenders. They find them themselves. We are, as of like this recording, right? We have a potential private money system that's about we're about to launch. We've got a you know we've got one deal that's going through right now that we want to see the process and how it goes, but it's looking very good. So it'll open up a whole new ball game for our investors. I think it'll you know if it works the way we believe it will, it'll double triple you know the amount of properties that we're selling just because you know it's that much more capital available to our investor group.
Right, right. That's awesome. Unfortunately, Jack, we're running out of time here.
Sure.
I'm going to have you back on the show because there's a whole bunch more stuff that just a whole bunch more stuff from acquisitions to renovations. There's all types of stuff. And I want people to make sure to go to highreturnrealestate.com and reach out to Jack and learn more about how they can get involved with what you're doing as the investor side of it to buy the property. But can you give, I always like to get one piece of advice from every guest that I have that, you know, we go through life and you do what you do, but there's that one thing that just nags you that people just don't get. Is there some advice you could help people with that, you know, that you know for sure that people just miss it altogether?
Well, I mean, I've got 10 things. That's an awesome question too, by the way, Tony. The number one thing, you know, in terms of this particular, you know, a show and what we're talking about is that my belief is that, you know, anybody really needs to take a hard look at how many and how much streams of passive income that they have. So when you're completely reliant upon a W-2, where you're working for somebody else and you've got a paycheck, if anything should happen to where you're not able to work for a period of time, it could be illness, family, emergency, you know, life happens to all of us at certain stages. And if you are completely and totally dependent upon that W-2 income, then you're setting yourself up for disaster, my opinion. Now, some people go through it, and knock on wood, it all works out. But for a lot of people, you know, they're a couple paychecks away from financial disaster. If you have a stream of passive income coming in, you can sleep really peacefully at night knowing that you're protected, your family's protected, and that if anything should happen, you've got a backup plan in place to help get you through to where you can start producing income again. So I would just, you know, whether it's real estate, I mean, you know, there's other ways to create passive income, but you've got to figure out a way and study passive income and start really planning and taking advantage because it's very, very powerful.
Mm. Well, man, thank you so much for your time today. I know I'm going to be reaching out to get you back on the show.
Yeah,
I want to even
please.
Do a longer interview. There's just so much stuff. I know that we're going to be, you have a partner, and I believe he goes by the name of Shecky. And I believe that Jeff is going to be a guest on the show here shortly as well. So I'm going to be able to get another side of this company, but I'd like to get you guys on for an hour together when my wife is back on the show and go through some more things because what you're doing, I think is awesome.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah. I mean, we didn't even get to into like some of the challenges and the really good stories. So I'd absolutely love to be back on to discuss that and anything else that comes up. So I really appreciate the opportunity and, you know, giving us a chance to tell more people about what we do and the passion that we have behind our company. I just think this is awesome and what you're doing is great. So thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. And I guarantee you'll be hearing from me. So thank you very much. I appreciate your time today.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, folks. Now, I mean, we're out of time, and if my wife was here, she would be telling me that I don't follow the agenda. But you know what? She's not here, and this is really a good show. It's a good information. We have a lot more to come. So tune in every week to House Talk Radio. And remember, you can go to highreturnrealestate.com. Highreturnrealestate.com. That's our show for this week. Check us out next week. here on the Tough Talk Radio Network.